Hello, and welcome to Draw, Lose or Draw, a weekly podcast covering all things Partick Thistle. Joining me this week to look back on Saturday's goalless draw with Ayr, but we will be taking a look ahead to the playoffs as well. Rhys Haldane, Rhys, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Matt. I'm sure we'll do well to get a bit of a discussion about another goalless draw, but as I say, looking forward to discussing things in the not-too-distant future as well, so it should be a good one.
Heather Holloway's here. Heather, how are you doing?
Great, thank you, Matt. As Rhys said, it's exciting to be back on talking about the playoffs coming up. It's good that we've secured that, and just hopefully the vibes train keeps on rolling.
And riding off our panel, he's back from whatever he does on the midweek evenings where he isn't recording or editing Draw, Lose or Draw. It's David Forrest. David, are you well?
I am well. I'm looking forward to yet another Rumpelstiltskin episode where we turn straw into gold and somehow chat a bit. I mean, about 2 weeks ago I said we'll struggle to fill time with this game, and then somehow had a more boring game 2 weeks later. So yeah, I'm excited to see what we weave here.
Let's go for it, Rhys. I'm going to chuck you the starting 11 question because you had some thoughts that I think I agree with in the chat on Saturday before the game. Kieran and Gwenya came in for Harry Milne, who was injured, and Stuart Bannigan came in for Ben Stanway. I think we heard the night before that Harry Milne was injured. Was in Gwenya the man you expected to replace him?
It was the man that I expected to replace him. I did think that Doolan would kind of just go with that. But personally, I said to you guys in the chat, I would have liked to see a wee change at left back. I would have liked to seen Dan O'Reilly get a start at left back. Now, of course, we know he's not a full back, but he's left sided, and you know, Ngwenya's fine. Ngwenya will do a job, but it doesn't improve the team. It's quite a considerable drop off from Ngwenya to Milne, or Milne to Ngwenya, should I say? But whereas if you have Dan O'Reilly on the side, of course, you're maybe killing yourself going forward a wee bit. But the advantage you get from having O'Reilly in the team at set pieces and attacking, defending corners, and just that physical aspect is. I think we would have benefited from having him at left back, and I'm sure he would have done a job. You look at Kevin Holt, of course, was he started out as a left back, but by all intents and purposes is a centre half now. You look back at the playoff run at the end of last year, he was just chipping in with goals left, right and centre from left back, and I thought that it could have played a similar role. Maybe we'll see something at some point, because I thought, why not? You know, it's a chance. You've got that licence to experiment with. The playoffs already secured, but I wasn't surprised at Doolan went with Ngwenya. I kind of half expected it. And in terms of Bannigan, no complaints with that at all. You know, Bannigan probably deserving a shot back in the team, and was happy to see them. I was happy to see Bannigan back in 11 as well.
Yeah, David, I'll come to you. How important do you think it was for a guy like Bannigan to get 90 minutes in his legs? And then also guys like Rico Diak, who we saw come off the bench, and Dan O'Reilly did get another half hour. How important is it that we're getting minutes in these guys' legs ahead of a busy schedule, or we hope a busy schedule?
Definitely. I mean, you only need to look at last season with Bannigan. He missed, how many games was it he missed? It was like, what, 3-4, something like that, or like the playoffs before the Dingwall game. And you could see the effects of not sort of getting that time in that game. I think it is important that with a sort of potentially packed calendar coming up to have players who can do a job and, you know, come in at times when we're not going to have everyone running for 90 minutes for every game, because it's just not going to be physically possible. It's a bit of a brutal Friday, Tuesday, isn't it, for the playoffs? So it's going to be tough, and yeah, I think that definitely, like, we saw how detrimental it is that it is when Bannigan, for example, didn't have the minutes in his legs last year. So definitely, I think that for him and Diak and O'Reilly, definitely it's important.
Heather, I'm going to come to you for a bit of chat on the game. I'm quite keen to make this particular episode a sort of playoffs preview rather than a review of a pretty inconsequential game against Ayr. But what did you make of the game itself, and who got pass marks for you?
I think we definitely made chances, and it was great to see us, even with Harry Mill not being there, still, you know, getting the cross in the box and being a threat. I think on a different day, Brian Graham scores a hat trick. He had three chances, which were very close to going in. I think there was obviously the chance that Scott Robinson had in front of the John Lambie stand, and I think everyone thought that was going in already. And I think, someone was claiming it was a save, but I thought it was just a really bad miss. And then the referee gave us a pity corner. But you know what? It was good to see Macbeth and Muirhead cement that back line more. I thought Muirhead had a really good game and controlled it well. He definitely has raised his standards from when we were calling him out a little bit earlier this season. And I mean, I don't think he's reacted just from us, but, you know, just in general, I think it's been really good to see. And I think naturally that comes from the stability that Macbeth has brought to the back line. I don't think we can talk about it enough. He has been so instrumental as a force in that back line, and his heading ability to control the ball, and actually his calmness as well, have been something that has really completed the team. And I don't know if we would have secured the playoffs so quickly, you know, this number of clean sheets, had it not been for the introduction of Luke Macbeth. So I mean, credit to him, and credit to Chris Doolan for believing in him and giving him a shot. I think overall pass marks, well, Brian Graham, obviously, naturally, he tried hard. Yes, there wasn't maybe too much for him to do, but he's always there. I thought Jack McMillan doing some of the overlapping runs that we've come to expect, but you can't really look past Macbeth for me. I thought he has, I mean, if there was a kind of half player of the season for someone who's just come in then he would win it hands down. He really has, you know, taken us to a new level.
Just to continue from what you're saying, Heather, I'm looking at the fixtures, and since Macbeth was moved to centre-back, we've played seven games. We've only conceded two goals. One of them was a late consolation for Morton in his first game at centre-back, and the other was the penalty at Dunfermline, which Muirhead gave away. I think it's important you touch on Muirhead as well. His game, you correctly say, is really improved, and he's sort of back to leading the back line as we expect. I actually thought in the first half Macbeth had a couple of shaky moments that gave the ball away, but he's playing so well at the moment alongside Muirhead, and it looks like a sort of settled defensive unit, which is really good to see. I actually thought Bannigan was a decent shout for man of the match on Saturday. I thought he didn't look like he'd been out of the team for a month or so. He covered a lot of ground, and he was quite tidy in his work. I thought he played really well, but yeah, wasn't the best game. Reece, if you get anything else to add on it?
Not too much other than what's already been covered. I'll keep it short and sweet. Exact same. Brian Graham could have had a hat-trick of headers, especially the one in the first half. Jack McMillan, beautiful ball, puts it on a plate for him, 6 yards out, and he just needs to let it graze his forehead and it's in. And it's one of the ones he catches it too sweetly, puts too much on it, and it, of course, goes over the bar. Other than that, standouts, like's already been mentioned, Luke Macbeth just taking us to another level. So it was a decent performance, in the fact it was 0-0, and it still gives me confidence, like the fact that we are so hard to beat at the moment. I never really felt in danger at all of our scoring. I know they had like one or two cleared off the line, as did we, but I never really felt in doubt. I wasn't really troubled by them, do you know what, you get what I'm saying? Whereas other times, you look back to the 4-3 game we played down there, of course we were more effective going forward, but every time it went up the park, it looked like I was scoring, maybe in part to what was happening in goals that night. But I just feel a lot more confident in the team at the moment, especially defensively. And of course, that's massive going into these playoffs.
That absolutely is. Lastly, I actually thought the referee was quite decent. That was the same referee who we had against Dundee United a few weeks ago, and maybe we're a bit critical that he didn't brandish a red card or two for United. But I thought he liked the game flow quite nicely on Saturdays. We have given refs some stick this season, so I thought he was fine. Deserves a shout out. David, a couple of listener questions. Stephen Lepitak, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, asks, what is the most appropriate sound to make to introduce a substitution?
I mean, during the Caldwell season, it probably was the womp, womp, womp that we got on Saturday. I don't know. I feel that it should be this will be a deep cut reference for anyone who isn't a massive video game nerd, but I feel that the Triumph sound from Final Fantasy VII, I think that would be quite good. I'd take that. Or maybe the TARDIS. Maybe you could just have the TARDIS, like, you know, they just regenerate out the dugout and then, you know, come back as Blair Olsen.
That would be Doctor Who cancelled, David. Reese, I'm going to come back to you for this next listener question. The Scotland Forever magazine has asked if we'd be embarrassed if a Thistle player wore an Alice band. Now, I believe he's referring to Logan Chalmers here. There's a sort of jokey element to that question, but also with Lawless out next season, is Logan Chalmers a player or a type of player that we should be looking at to maybe sign on for next season?
100%. I said it at the time, when obviously it's kind of clear now that he'll probably be leaving Dundee United in the summer and his future's kind of up in the air, and realistically it's probably going to be a Championship team that takes a punt on him, and I think he's kind of probably got the pick of any Championship team that he wants. I'd like to think that we're already putting in an offer, giving him something, maybe a pre-contract, because he wasn't brilliant at the weekend, but I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's exactly what we'd need. And the fact that Lawless is obviously going to be out for at least half the season, you're going to need someone who can come in and start on the wing and be equally as good as Fitzpatrick. So, you know, he's a great age as well, where he's got a chance to, if he goes on and has an ambitious career and has a good season, you can maybe even get a sell on. Logan Chalmers, definitely one I'd be interested in. I need him at the Wire Stadium next season.
Any thoughts on the Alice band?
Listen, I don't mind it. I think, in general, footballers get a bit too much stick for having, like, a decent mop of hair. Sometimes you see, like, a few ball jokers telling guys like that to get a haircut, and I don't know, I think it's a bit unwarranted at sometimes. Not necessarily my cup of tea is hair, but I think it's fine. I don't mind the Alice band.
David, your hand shot straight up here.
As someone who used to have very long hair for a good, like, decade or so, I never rocked the Alice band myself, but I know how much of a pain in the ass long hair is, especially going to somewhere like Ayr, like Ayr Beach. It was an absolute nightmare in the wind all the time. It's not something I've ever worn, but I totally understand it. And to be fair, whatever gets you through, absolutely no bother.
I feel like if any club is sort of due an Alice band wearer, it's us, to be fair. So yeah, sign them up. Heather, I'll come to you for a sort of brief preview of the Dundee United game. You know, I think we're going to pretend this isn't happening. There's not going to be another podcast between now and the first leg of the playoffs. So we'll have a very brief preview of this game. We're probably not going to review it unless something spectacular happens. But I suppose the big question is, how many changes do we make? How does Chris Dolan approach this? How does he balance the sort of momentum and the vibes train? We're 7 unbeaten. We've got the chance to go into the playoffs 8 unbeaten against giving guys like, I'm guessing, Graham, Fitzpatrick, Muirhead, guys like that a rest and giving some of the fringe players some minutes.
I think we saw on Saturday that obviously Dan O'Reilly can come in and definitely do a job, and thought he was, you know, really important in between like the 70th and 90th minute, because Ayr did have some chances and he was able to put a stop to it. So I wouldn't be surprised if either he starts and we give Muirhead a rest, or at least it might be at least a half that he gets. I think it is tricky because we've had it before when we were, you know, we had our celebration on that 3-3 game against Dunfermline all those years ago for the Championship. And we were, you know, we were losing and then we came back to draw. And do you really want to lose on cup fight on your cup winning cup trophy day? So I don't, and also we're on TV. So I don't know what Dundee United will do. And I don't know if that would change our mindset a little bit, but I would like to see Rico Diak get more minutes than he got, and also not to be a replacement for Fitzpatrick. We've talked about this before. I just don't think Diak is a winger. And I think it'd be good to see him actually, you know, get to play his position. I wonder if potentially Xander McKenzie would get a chance as well. I'm not going to say Blair Alston's going to start, but I do think that Scott Robinson, especially with the injuries that he's had and his inconsistency to stay in the team, I would really expect him to not be playing on, or at least not coming on until a little bit later on in the game on Friday. we saw on Friday night against Airdrie that I think it was Ross Doherty that said on the TV beforehand, you know, our fans have come to watch us, and yes, although we've won the league already, like, we don't want to disappoint them or embarrass them. And I do think that they will. I mean, it's us. They don't like Thistle at all, you know, Dundee United and their fans. And I don't think they're going to lie down and make it easy. I do think they might give some of their youth prospects a chance. But the fact that it's TV and it's their promotion cementing day, I do think that it will be still quite a strong team. And I guess also some of their players are not going to make it to the Premiership. So I guess it could potentially be their farewell to the club. And we know what it's like to not get to say farewell to some of our kind of key players at certain times. So I think that's something to consider. I don't even know if they still do the kind of thing about like the medals and the time, and like, if, you know, there might be some players that are, you know, have been fringe players and not got enough games or minutes. So I don't know if that might be something they consider as well. But I think going back to us and focusing on Thistle, we don't want it to be a negative result, because, you know, I don't want to go, you know, we play a weakened team, we lose 5-0 and we go into the playoffs of that. Because even if we say, oh, you know what, this person wasn't there, this person wasn't there, it plants seeds of doubt. And we are definitely, as David would say, we're a vibes team. We are a team that really thrives off good momentum and positivity. So I really just don't want to lose this game, or I don't want to lose it badly. So I would say weaken the bits, you know, maybe give Brian Graham less time, Robinson on the bench, but not too much, because we can't let this have a detrimental effect for the weeks to come.
Do you agree with that, Rhys, or would you take some bodies straight out of the firing line and just say they're not getting on at all and all eyes on the playoffs?
I'd agree pretty much with exactly what Heather said there. You know, there's always room at the end of the season for giving a young boy a run out. And I suppose that would be nice, maybe off the bench for a bit, because we've had a lot of youngsters on the bench lately and we've not really had an opportunity to give them a chance. I thought we maybe would have seen a couple at the weekend there. But obviously, I think it might be nice at some point. But I don't want to go and make wholesale changes. I wouldn't go and rip the team apart, you know, 11 fresh bodies. Because like you say, confidence is the most important thing in football. And regardless if, you know, we weakened the team, you still took a defeat. And of course, you're playing the champions, you know what I mean? Like, I know they haven't exactly torn the league apart, but there's always potential that you could go there and get a bit of a doon. And I don't think you're needing that going into the playoffs, regardless of the 11 that you field. I'd try and keep it as similar to what we're playing with at the moment as possible. Maybe a couple of tweaks here and there. And if things are going a certain way, you know, see if we are getting a doon, or if, you know, tackles start flying in, then Fitzy, Graham, you know, all these key players, get them off, get them rested when it needs be.
David, I'm going to come to you. You can kick us off with a score prediction, but I want to ask you first, how much of your hard-earned money would you give to Jim Goodwin if he gave Mark Birigiti a start on Friday night?
I'm open to offers. You know, if Goodwin's looking for a wee bum to get Mark Birigiti a game, I'm all for it. You know, we'll do another quiz to raise funds for it. It's a big day. You know, it's Helicopter Friday. You know, we go in there, we win, we could win the title. You know, I'm 66% confident we can win the title. No, but it is a difficult one, because they will be in party mode, and I think they might be a wee bit strong because they want to try and, you know, put on a show or whatever. I'm setting my expectations low for this. I'm not looking for a decisive win. I'm not even looking for anything. I'm looking for one boo from the Tannadice fans on their title party day. That's all I'm looking for. So I would take that game on Saturday at Tannadice. I just want them to boo. I just want them to be really raging on their big day. And yeah, so we're optimistic. We're always optimistic. I'm going to say 1-0. The helicopter's changing direction. Thistle are winning. Mark Birigiti in shambles. It will be great.
Heather, prediction?
Oh, dear.
Don't do it, Heather.
Don't do what? A win or a draw?
Don't predict a United win.
I know, because it's just horrific. Right, 2-1 Thistle.
Yes, come on.
Reese.
I'm going to go against the grain, then I'll say one each. I don't think we'll get beat, because, like I say, we are a stiffer opposition this time, and, you know, you got to keep that run going. I don't think we're going to go there and get embarrassed or anything, so... one each, I'll say. I just think that Dundee United could take their foot off the gas. I know that we kind of already have as well, and it's probably not going to be a game that you remember for years to come, but I'll go a 1-0 draw.
I'm going to go on a similar vein to Reese. I'm just going to go for another 0-0. I don't think we'll be sort of going all out mental trying to win the game. I think, as we've talked about, our defence is pretty good. Hopefully Dundee United will all be hungover. I think there'll be a sort of gentleman's nod before the game where we just play this out and nobody gets injured. Yes, please.
David, why did you not persuade anyone else, but you like put the pressure on me? And also, what does that say about me and peer pressure, really?
No, I feel that we are kindred spirits in this. We're always like the optimist. I can't remember the last time you predicted a loss. It was probably 2 weeks ago. I always feel like you are the closest to me in terms of blind optimism with these sort of predictions. Where are you in the prediction table? Are you not like
second fourth? Bottom?
Second, exactly. Yeah, because you just keep predicting wins all the time. Reese burned those bridges many, many months ago. You know, he's gone. He's a lost cause. But I have hope for you, Heather. But,
it's all about results and the prediction slip, David.
It's all about results and getting the people of Tannadice to boo one time. That's what it's all about.
Right, well, we'll move on and we're going to preview the two-legged quarter-final playoff against Airdrie. Now, hopefully we will have a chat with Airdrie fan Colin Telfer to insert here. I'm now joined by Airdrie fan and friend of the show, Colin Telfer. Colin, are you well?
I'm well, thanks. I'm a friend of the show. I've gone off in the world. Thank you very much. And I should say, because we're doing this slightly weird thing where this is a section where both of us can use, so... Welcome to the OTL podcast. Matt, I've forgotten your saying. Greer?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes,
yeah.
Got it right. Welcome to Matt Greer from the Draw, Loser, Draw, Partick Thistle podcast. Of course, we're speaking because we've got a massive couple of games coming up between our clubs.
Yeah, I should say, just reversing back a little bit, Colin, I think you deserve friend of the show status now after showing David around Airdrie a couple of months ago. I think you've earned it.
And he lived to tell the tale, so there you go.
As you say, we're just going to have a chat about the upcoming playoff tie between the two sides. We'll just kick off by asking you to sort of reflect on Airdrie's season to date. Have you exceeded expectations, do you think?
Yeah, massively. So I would have bitten your hand off for eighth place. To add SPFL Trust Trophy, also the big one that everybody wants to win, was a great day out, and the semi-final was Raith Rovers away, so that was a good victory as well. So that was brilliant. And then what it means for the team in terms of prize money, being in the championship for another year, but the higher you finish up, obviously gives a bit more. So way above expectations. Roose McCabe's done a great job. But then turning that to you guys, you had obviously a summer of quite a bit of unrest, lost some big players as everybody's going on about. Ross Docherty, Kyle Turner, Scott Tiffany. So good season for Thistle, given the rebuild that had to go on.
I think so, yeah. I think there was quite a bit of panic over the summer with the financial issues that sort of came to light, and obviously Docherty, Holt, Tiffany Turner leaving. And it was a pretty big rebuild for an inexperienced coach like Dylan. I think when you look at our squad, we probably are where we should be. I think third is, we've probably got the third best squad in the league. But I think Dylan does deserve credit for sort of keeping calm and getting us into the playoffs fairly comfortably. I don't think we've moved from third in the league since September time. So I think that's quite an interesting contrast, because we've sort of tipped you for a wee while to get the fourth place spot. But I think it's quite a contrast that we've known for a wee while we're going to be in the playoffs, and you've sort of secured it pretty recently. Do you think that will affect the tie at all?
I don't know. As I would have said, we'll come on to the game at Firhill recently. We went on an absolutely incredible run where we had Morton, Dunfermline, our growth as well, but we'd won four games back to back to get us into, to put us in a really strong chance of getting fourth place, and we had the best form in the league since January. In fact, I think over something like 16 games. So Ira said we were the form team in the league, but then I got brought to a bit of a juddering halt with our defeat to you guys. So that's big as well. So I don't know how you work it out. I mean, I guess it's new, like the points totals are gone. It's a new tournament, so maybe you can't read too much into it. We were in good form, but losing 4-0 to a team that we're about to play isn't ideal either. So I don't know, Matt. It feels like you want to come in on good form, much like you guys did last year. But Thistle aren't on terrible form either. You're on quite an unbeaten run, so I think it's poised. I don't think you can say either team will be feeling that they're going into playoffs in an unbeatable form.
We're on a 7-game unbeaten run at the moment. The 4-0 game is quite interesting because we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, and it sort of drew a parallel from last season when we played Queen's Park. We hadn't beaten Queen's Park. Obviously, we'd beaten you earlier in the season, but we hadn't beaten Queen's Park last season until April, the fourth game against them, and we beat them 4-0. And I think that set us up for the playoffs quite nicely. And I think that the 4-0 a couple of weeks ago against yourselves, I think it will help us, but I don't know how damaging it will be to you, because I know you had some key players out, obviously. Will they be back for the playoffs, you know?
Should be. Reece McCabe himself has got, he seems to have a hamstring, I think a hamstring strain, but he's been out for since the cup final. But his kind of young protege, Dean McMaster, has been doing such a good job, we haven't missed him so much. Adam Frizzle was just rested as a precaution, and he's one of our best midfielders and made the team of the year, so he'll be back. It'll be great to have him back. And then the other one's Cammy Ballantyne, usually a fullback, but he's been playing in a back three. So one of the big things about Firhill was, yes, there were some people missing, but we went from a back three to a back four. So I'm holding on to the belief that was why, Matt, that was why. I watched the stream of that game. But the first half I thought was like a game of basketball. It was just going back and forward. It was really good to watch. I suspect it'll be a much more, well, if the tie's still alive, so not take anything for granted, it could be a much more cagey affair. So like you see, I'm not sure how much of a precedent that will be for anything, but I mean, it's not, I can't spin it too much, it's not positive that we took such a heavy defeat to you so close to the playoffs. So it is a wee bit of a concern that do we really understand why that happened.
So how confident are you getting into this playoff then, Colby? Some playoff success last season, do you think that will, does that come into your mindset about how confident you are at all?
We had some playoff success in our 10th ever playoff campaign, having had 9 failures before that. So I think this team has showed real character. They've coped with injuries through the season. The cup final, they went 1-0 down and still managed to come back to win. It went to penalties in the final last year with a good penalty shootout win against Morton in the SPFL Trust Trophy. So there's enough there to give me a bit of hope. But I mean, we're the fourth place team. It's going to be very tough, and I'm just wholly focused on the first match against Thistle. Let's see how that goes, because I don't think we can get ahead of ourselves. For either of our teams, it's a big, big ask to get through 6 games where teams are going to be really going at each other and come out as the victors in that tournament. So one game at a time, let's see how it goes. What about you? How are you feeling about it? Obviously, there's some scar tissue from last year, so this is a great chance to get over your experience there, but it's also a very different squad. So are you feeling positive ahead of the games?
I think we're feeling positive. I think when you look back at last season, obviously you've mentioned the 6 playoff games you need to play, and there was only really an hour that went wrong for us in out of those 6 games last season. When you look at our 2 ties against the Championship teams, we beat Queen's Park 8-3 over the 2 legs, and we beat Ayr 8-0 over the 2 legs. I really don't think it'll be as one-sided as that. I think out of the teams that were chasing the playoff spots this season, I think this is the most awkward game for us. I think you've caused us some issues this year. I think I would probably, the way I see it, I'd probably say we're maybe like 60-40 favourites. But I think it'll be, I can't see either team running away with it, to be honest, like we did last year.
I think that's probably fair. Again, you just don't know. I think for us, having the first game at home's maybe a positive, because we've not won, well, we've lost both games at Firhill. So if we were able to get a home win, it would give us a chance to go to Firhill in a different scenario. You're not starting at nothing each. So I would have liked to finish third, especially with the run that we were on and the extra money it would have brought. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for us to have that advantage in the first game and see if we can maybe get ourselves ahead. It certainly gives us a better chance to do that than an away tie would. But yeah, I can't argue. You probably are slightly favourites because you're above us in the league for a reason, and teams head to head, you're head there and with a 4-0 victory. So we'll wear that tag of underdogs and hope that we can be successful in it. And you say 60-40, you have got a good record against the Airdrie, not just this season, but when we were both in League One especially. So how nervous are you? So you're saying we play this two-leg tie 10 times, you're only winning 6 of them. Do you believe that?
I think if you look at the first three games when you had a fully fit team, and I think we could argue probably the first game of that, we weren't really ready to go. I think we had quite a slow start to the season and we signed some bodies after that. But even the middle two games, the 2-1 at Firhill and the 1-1 at Airdrie, I think they were really well-matched games. The 2-1 at Firhill, I think we were unlucky not to steal a point in them. So, I'll go with that. I think you would win maybe 4 of the ties. I'm hoping this isn't one of them.
I think my concern is it comes down to goal scoring, because I think Thistle have found it easier to score against Airdrie than we have against you, especially that first game at Firhill. We let in 2 pretty soft goals, then we played really well, but we just couldn't turn that into goals. Whereas I think about a lot of Thistle's goals, you've not had to do that much. So that's just a concern. Brian Graham has been a constant thorn on our side for all the time that he's been at Thistle and we've played each other. So I think that's one of the big challenges, is can we stop Thistle scoring? Because you've been able to do that in every game against us this year. And we still haven't. No, we scored 1 but was conceded 6 at Firhill. So that's a big problem to solve for Roose McCabe.
Yeah, I think We're in quite an interesting spot at the moment, because for the first 3 quarters of the season, we were quite a free scoring team, but we were really struggling at the back. Like that was, I think we'd have been up in a title race if we had probably fared last season's defence, or maybe even the defence that we finished the season with. But the last sort of quarter of the season, Doolan's moved Luke Macbeth, who we signed from the juniors, and he's a sort of centre back can play in midfield. He started playing in midfield, but he moved him back to centre back. He's moved Lewis Nielsen into midfield, and we've only conceded 2 goals in 7 games. So that'll be interesting to see how that sort of matches up with your not as efficient attack as us. I think that could be why we edge it maybe.
Yeah. And then taking a step back to the playoffs more generally, what are you seeing this as? Do you think this is a real big chance of promotion, and what would it mean to Thistle if you're able to do it?
I think for what would it mean? I think it would go probably all the way to sort of healing last season's scars, I think, first and foremost. To be honest, I think if you look at the sort of teams that are coming into the division next season, if we don't get promoted, I can see us being sort of up in and around the playoff positions, if not going for the title again next season. So I don't think it's a sort of all or nothing situation, but obviously promotion to the Premier League would be a massive deal regardless. I think similar to last season, it just feels like such a long shot that you've got to win 3 ties across 6 matches. It's a big ask, and I think we'd probably just run out of steam in the end. But what about you? Are you seeing this as a sort of like a really big chance to get into the Premiership, because you've not too many recently to get back there?
We were in League One for 10 years, yeah. So yeah, I mean, we've I think so, because I think from one angle, we've got absolutely nothing to lose, given that we've got ourselves here. But equally, I'm not expecting that if we're in the Championship next season, we're necessarily going to be able to get ourselves to fourth place, because we've just got a lot of big teams, and this year Air United have been off it, Queen's Park have been off it. There's a lot of teams that probably underperformed. So given that it's probably as good a chance as we're going to have for a long time, Like you say, yeah, I mean, it's not as stacked against you in terms of this would be a very tough game. Wraith Rovers would be desperate to beat us because they haven't managed to yet this year. And then after playing four really tough games in 2 weeks, you've got potentially a fresher Premier League team who've got a much bigger budget to try and overcome as well. So I think it's I don't see that we've got a high chance, but I think it's probably the best chance we might have for a very long time. And if we could seal back-to-back promotions, I mean, that doesn't happen very often to anyone, so that'd be a brilliant story.
Who do you think needs to perform for you? Who needs to be at the top of their game for you to... I'd say to beat Thistle, who do you think needs to turn up across these two legs first and foremost?
Well, I think we've got a very, very high reliance on Callum Fordyce, who has been... He's been at Airdrie... I can't remember if it's 5 or 6 seasons now. He got inducted into the Hall of Fame on Sunday night. He's the assistant manager. He's Rhys McCabe's cousin. He's the only real centre half that we've got. It's got Aaron Taylor Sinclair, formerly of Thistle's Parish, hasn't been playing this year, so it's been for Dice with two full backs really forming a back three, and I'd be really worried that if he gets injured at any point in that playoff run, where we to make it through any of the games, we'd really, really struggle. So he needs to play well, and he needs to come through each match unscathed, which is a big ask, and he's getting towards the end of his career as well. But we need to score goals, so we won't have the luxury of being able to create 4 chances and score 1. We need to be clinical up front. So Todorov has emerged as our main man. I don't think he's done brilliantly against Thistle, so he's going to have to solve that. But the strikers are going to have to be clinical, because I suspect we're not going to out-create people for chances. What about for Thistle? Who's going to be key?
I think you can almost, I don't want to say it, but you'd expect Brian Graham to get a goal over the two legs just with how good he's been this season. So he'll be key. Aidan Fitzpatrick out on the left, he had a great playoff campaign last year. He really sort of cemented his place in this season's starting 11 and as one of our key players in that run at the end of last season, so him as well. And then key to the sort of defensive run recently, Luke Macbeth, Aaron Muirhead at centre-back. And then our fullbacks are quite key to how we play. So we've got Harry Millen on the left and Jack McMillan on the right. Harry Millen's had an excellent season. I think Jack McMillan's been a wee bit quieter this season than last season, but he scored a few goals in the playoffs last season. So I've overlapping Stevie Lawless on the right. So I think the fullbacks are quite key for us. So that's one to watch as well.
And talk to me about Kieran McEnroy. So we had him at Airdrie just on loan for half a season. Really liked him. Obviously then went on to bigger and better things pretty quickly. He's having to take a bit of a step back to Thistle, played the beautiful through ball in that last game against you, which we would have sworn was offside until you actually see the highlights and Fitzpatrick's in his own half. But how good's he been for you? Because it does seem like he's maybe been in and out of the team a bit.
Yeah, he's had quite an interesting season. I think on the podcast we all really like him. But he's playing a few positions in midfield. He's been utilised quite deep in midfield at times, which I don't think is where he's most effective. I don't think he's great defensively. I think when you get him closer to the sort of attacking line, that's where he can do a lot of damage, because he's got sort of great passing range, as you've mentioned, and it's shooting from the edge of the box, I think, is really dangerous as well. Yeah. At the moment, he's got quite an interesting situation because he's filling in out wide right for Stevie Lawless, who's picked up a bad injury. So he is playing a bit further forward, but he's maybe not in his favoured position, sort of wide of an attack in front three. So again, that's maybe one to watch, because we've got some options that we could maybe swap in there. A couple of young players could fill in there if Doolan wants to move McEnroy in. But I would expect him to start on the right against yourselves.
I've got a question from me, regardless of all that logic and all that brilliant football analysis that we've just done, Matt. Why should your team prosper in these playoffs, and especially in this first leg?
In terms of, do we deserve to? Or
yeah, no, you didn't need to. No deserving, just like from a dyed-in-the-wool Thistle perspective. Why should you win?
Why should we win? Am I playing to the footballing gods here?
Yeah, yep.
I don't think I need to go much further than last year's playoffs, to be honest. I think we're owed one. To rectify last season's wrongs, I would say. What about yourself for that one?
Well, as the Thistle fans like to remind us, everybody hates, insert word, Airdrie. So I would just quite like to see the seed on Twitter where we to manage to do it. On a more serious note, Reece McCabe's been, he's been fantastic. He's taken to management like a duck to water, as has your manager as well, in fairness. We've got two good young coaches, but I would just like to see the experiment continue. I was stunned at how little transfer activity we had in the summer, and yet he's managed to form this team. And if he was able to get a year with far greater resources, it could remind a whole other population of teams how much they hate Airdrieonians as well, and that would be, I guess that would be quite fun too. So sometimes the baddies have got to win, Matt. You need this narrative arc. We can't be kept in League One forever. So let's give us a, it'd be good to play at that level, because we haven't done since I was very young in my early days supporting Airdrie with a couple of seasons in the Premier League. And even if it only lasts 1 year, in terms of for the sustainability of Airdrie, we built that Premier League ready stadium 30 years ago and have never managed to get there. It would change everything in terms of just making us sustainable and well funded. And like I say, it might only last 1 year, but even that could be enough to give us a kind of enough money to plan properly and bring some young players through. So it would be massive for us if we could do it. I'm sure that's the same for Wraith and Thistle as well. But yeah, I just hope that we might get some good luck for a change.
Do you think you need promotion to keep McCabe longer than like maybe another year? Do you think he's going to sort of, is he head twitching anywhere?
I don't know. It's an interesting one. He replaced Ian Murray. I look at Ian Murray when he was at Dumbarton, it was kind of flavour of the month, overperformed in the Championship with Dumbarton, got the St Mirren job, failed, ended up coaching in Norway before they gave him a chance in League One. So I think, yes, his stock is high, and you can't presume that that will be the case if you stay at Airdrie for, say, another 2 years. But any move that he makes has got to be the right one. So just moving to, I don't know, a struggling Premier League team could end quickly and poorly. So I think Reece McCabe seems pretty savvy to me. So I don't know they would go just for anything. But equally, if we stay down, can he really do that much more with Airdrie? It'll depend how much of the extra prize money he gets in the footballing budget next year. He might well take the chance of, I'll move now and back myself to do it. So we need to wait and see. Also, he's got like a football coaching business and he lives in West Lothian, so he's pretty local. And he's got a young family and I think he still enjoys playing. So there are other factors in there which might mean that this just really suits his life at the moment. I'm trying to think what job might come up. If the Aberdeen Swedish coach was to be an absolute disaster and Reece McCabe there doing well in League One, it's hard to see that he wouldn't have his head turned there. Yeah. What about Doolin? I mean, Doolin has done really well. It makes me laugh this year in the Championship. There's for a while this poverty porn was a thing on TV and Channel 5 had all these like programs or like you had the scheme on BBC and people in benefits swapping places with millionaires. Like League One Championship fans are desperate to see that they've got the lowest budget this year. Everybody wants to see that their manager's working on buttons, but I think Doolin's done a brilliant job since he took over from McCall. If this will stay down, are you worried about losing him and having to replace him and have another rebuild?
I think it's maybe a wee bit different just because of the sort of status Chris Doolin has at Thistle. I think it would take a sort of huge, like really life-changing thing for him to leave for Hill in the foreseeable future. I'm not saying he's obviously not going to be there forever, but I just think at the moment the job he's done, I think he's in a sort of a really comfortable job for him. As you say, he has done really well this season. We probably are where we should be in the league, but if you look at how we started the season, it could have spiraled pretty easily. I think we went on a bad run sort of February time, and it could have spiraled. And what he's been good at is he's been pretty quick to make changes when we've needed to. He's not like let a bad situation sort of fester on and get worse, which is probably the most impressive sort of aspect of his management so far. But I wouldn't say like I would be concerned about losing him next season if we didn't go up. I think he's here for a wee while to come, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with you that third place is probably the right place for Thistle, but Ayr finished second last year, Queen's Park finished fourth last year, and these teams expected to go again and didn't necessarily have the upheaval that you had in the summer. So I do think that the fact he's managed to keep everybody together speaks volumes, because I don't think it's as easy as, we've got good players, so it'll just happen. Like, McCall was struggling before Doolan came in, so yeah. He has impressed me.
Yeah. Likewise with McCabe. Colin, I feel obliged to say now, you've been very kind, but Reece McCabe, I would love to win. I think all Thistle fans would love a wee day out to win the Challenge Cup. We're a bit jealous of that, I think.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I think we either of us would probably sacrifice it for a playoff victory. So Tuesday night, Friday night will tell us. Well, for one of us, that dream will still be alive. And for the others, well, there might be not many podcasts for a couple of months. So
that'd be a positive.
Yeah. There we go. We'll have a bit more free time, Matt. Yes, yep. We'll not have to do some editing.
Yeah. It's been nice speaking to you, Colin. I would say we're probably going to speak again next season, but, you know, fingers crossed for one of us, we'll not be here to do the sort of previews of four championship clashes. So I would love to wish you good luck, but I can't yet.
Well, may the best team win. We'll be quite old-fashioned about it. Yeah,
exactly. Reece, we mentioned last week about how important that the 4-0 was in terms of confidence in our players, atmosphere amongst the fans. But how tough is it going to be to go to Airdrie, a place we've only picked up 1 point in two league matches? Probably in the first leg on Tuesday night. How tough a game is that going to be? And what is a successful result from the first leg in your eyes?
It's going to be really tough. You know, it's a game that, you know, our whole fan base and players probably like are kind of nervy about a wee bit. Airdrie just, they are a good side. Don't get me wrong, but their home form has been brilliant this season, whereas you look at the last 10 visits to Firhill, you know, dates all the way back to 2009, they've not picked up a win. In fact, they've lost every time at Firhill back to 2009. So I know, watching Reece McCabe's interview, they were desperate to beat us that day to try and get the home game in the second leg. And I'm probably sure they still will. I think they'll go out in I can honestly see them winning by like a 5-goal margin at the weekend. So that's why we kind of need to be careful as well, because I think they'll still be going for it. You've seen, if you remember back to the playoffs, was it last year or even the year before when they played Falkirk and they just blew them away? What was it, 5-6-0 at halftime? You know, Airdrie are capable of that. They're a good side and we just need to keep our wits about us, remain hard to beat, and, you know, keep it tight. Like, if it comes to a draw away at the Excelsior, it is a fine result. You can take that. Of course, you're going in there looking for a win, but if you leave with a draw, I'm pretty sure you're happy with that. It's a good result and we'll take it to Firhill. But it's a game that honestly might sound daft considering we've beat Airdrie twice this season. I'm kind of more nervous for this game than I am from the Raith game. Obviously, and it's weird because obviously we've not got a win against Raith this season, but I just feel like we might catch Raith feeling sorry for themselves, the fact they didn't go and win the league. But who knows? We obviously need to get the job done first at Airdrie and ideally come out unscathed from the first leg.
Heather, Reece has touched on the sort of venues and the fact that it is looking likely, unless there's a goal difference swing on Friday night, that we will be away to Airdrie first, which is different from the three playoff ties we had last year. And it's normally in football, you think if you're at home in the second leg, that's the advantage. But last year we were at home in the first leg and we won all of those first legs at home, and we went away against the Championship sides, Queen's Park and Ayr. And I think that almost suited us because they had to come out, and in the end we battered Queen's Park 4-0 and Ayr 5-0. How different do you think it is in the terms of the dynamic of the tie that we'll be away from home first, and how do you think that could affect our approach?
Yeah, I made this point earlier to Jack Carson. We were talking about it and he was like saying how much he thinks it's brilliant the fact that we are home on the Friday. And well, I mean, I think he was saying that mainly because we can go to Munns afterwards, but also, you know, we have, in recent times especially, you know, Firhill has been a good place for us in the league recently. But I do still think that one of the reasons why we did so well last year was because we had that kind of excitement of the of Friday away. And and I don't know why, but I think in my 27 years of Thistle games, I've always preferred away from home. Firhill is great and will always be the stadium of dreams, and it's a place that is so important to me, but I prefer away games for so many reasons. But I do hope that this team will make me regret saying that and change my mindset on it, and that we will really, really enjoy, if we do come third, the fact that we are, Tuesday away and Friday home. But I guess if we get further, that it will be back to the usual way for playing Wraith, who are second. But I do think it will change things. And we have found playing Airdrie away tricky this season. So maybe it's actually better for us to have, the away game first, and then we can, take it to Firhill, have the memories of the 4-0 game and use that to our advantage.
What are you expecting from this tie, David? Are you sort of, I was going to say confident, you're obviously very confident that we're going to go through David Forrest. I don't think he's going to do an old switcheroo now and say that Airdrie are going to get the better of us in a two-legged playoff match. But how do you expect it to pan out? And in my head, I think this is going to be a lot tighter than the two ties we had against Championship teams last season. Do you agree with that, David?
I think so. I think the litmus test is going to be, for the whole playoff campaign, is going to be that first game at Airdrie. I was kind of a bit concerned, obviously, that, we absolutely demolished Airdrie, last week, that maybe we've shown our hand a little bit. We came out and we had some really great counter-attacking football, which is not something that we have done as well this season. And it was a bit of a departure for us. And it's kind of like, that's great to win that game, but at the same time, they're going to turn and go, all right, well, they're just going to use counter-attacking football against us, and then they'll be able to prepare a little bit better for that. I get at Airdrie, we found it tricky there. Does anyone know what is the sort of regard of Airdrie's pitch? You know how everyone always says, that Livy's absolute shite and all those pitches, but like, is Airdrie like sort of a bad pitch?
Airdrie's regarded as a sort of all right plastic pitch.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think it's quite a good one.
Yeah, and the games against them Airdrie have been really, really good games to watch. They're quite fiery and end to end a little bit, and they've been good spectacles. And I think that we mentioned before about the vibes train and the fans and stuff like that. I think that our fans, Airdrie fans as well, but our fans will be really, really up for a way to Airdrie in the playoffs, especially after beating them 4-0. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere, and I think that's going to really, really help us. In the first time we played them at the Excelsior this year, it was sort of we were in a rebuilding phase. Everyone was still kind of licking their wounds from Dingwall, and it wasn't really that raucous an atmosphere. I think we'll be really, really up for it, and I think it will be the 12th man, to use a football cliche. At the very least, we need to, at all costs, avoid losing at the Excelsior. I would take a draw at Airdrie right now, because I think that it's really, really important to go. That's their advantage at that point. Is we mentioned, Falkirk last year about, they can just go out and absolutely tank a team and be a 4-0 up at half time, and then that's it, done. And then there's not really much coming back from that. I think that at all costs, we need to make sure that we are still in the game after the first leg, at the very least a draw, if not winning. And I think if we can do that and get it to Firhill, I think we'll be absolutely fine. But I'll be intrigued to see how we play, because I feel we did show our hand a little bit. But then again, we showed our hand against Queen's Park as well, and that ended up being a 4-3 end-to-end, great game. But yeah, so I think that I'll be interested to see how we play, because I feel that Airdrie might figure out our number, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll come back for score predictions in a minute, David. But before we do that, a little quick quiz for you, David. So you mentioned that the first game against Airdrie this season, which was back in August, a 2-1 defeat. We were in a bit of sort of transition, right? So the team, David Mitchell in goal, Jack McMillan, Harry Milne at fullback, Aaron Muirhead at centre-back. Who partnered Aaron Muirhead at centre-back that day?
Was Edie Williams?
He sure did. And then it was this a classic front three of Lawless, Fitzpatrick and Graham. But in the midfield three, Stuart Bannigan, who did he have alongside him, David, the other two?
I know Wes McDonald came on for someone.
We did have a wild appearance from Wes McDonald and Blair Alston off the bench.
They came on at the same time. Oh my God. Right, no, that's fair enough. That makes absolutely total sense why we were terrible that game. get him on the plane. Get Wes McDonald on the plane back up for Airdrie away. You know, it's his redemption arc. It's coming.
Ben Williamson, Matt?
Yes. Who else, Heather?
I know who it is. He scored the goal. James Long.
Yeah, of course, Reece gets it.
Boys,
James Lyon and Ben Williamson in midfield. Midfield's going to look very different.
That people were saying that earlier that season, that whenever Ben Williamson went off in games, we started playing badly. And I'm sure he liked quite a lot of those tweets as well.
Genuinely, see that game, I remember him coming off injured and obviously we fell away to pot that day. And I thought he was pretty good at that point. Well, obviously, it just went sour after that, didn't it?
He was really good against Dundee United, wasn't he? In the League Cup game.
He was actually decent in that game. Yep.
Yeah.
Not decent in too many others. I don't know how draw, lose or draw schedule is going to work in amongst the playoffs. A professional podcast would have worked this out before they clicked record. Hopefully we can get something out in between the two legs very quickly and very shortly. So I'll come round for first leg only predictions. Rhys, how do you think we'll get on, presumably at Airdrie?
Like I said, it's going to be very, very tough. I've got three different scorelines in my head. I'm going to be optimistic because I never like saying I'll take a draw, even though I probably would. I don't like saying it, so I'm going to say Thistle win 2-1.
Thistle win 2-1. David, I'll leave you to last. Heather?
I was going to say the same as Rhys, so that's what I had. So yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Thistle.
David?
Three two, an absolute raucous, you know, blood and thunder game. 3-2 to Thistle.
I'm sorry to ruin the 100% streak, but I agree with you, David. I think it will be a sort of raucous game. I think again back to the Queen's Park first leg last year, which was 4-3, and it was a bit of, you know, it was an end to end, sort of both teams sort of just going at it, and I think it will be similar. And despite our sort of improved defensive record, I think Airdrie could cause us some problems. I know Macbeth and Muirhead have been playing really well, but I think Airdrie could cause them a bit of bother, especially there. So I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw in the first leg. I think it'll be another really good game for the television cameras as well. And hopefully we will be back in between playoff legs, hopefully, to have a preview for the second leg once we know how the first leg has played out. Right, a bit of admin then before we move on and finish with Partridge. Congratulations to Andrew McKenzie for a spectacular striking of the crossbar on Saturday, probably the highlight of his day. Hopefully he enjoyed his day in hospitality as well. It looked brilliant. A friend of the show, we were talking off air, I think it was probably about nearly 4 years ago, I think he made his only draw, lose or draw appearance, but it was great to see him have a very good time on Saturday, and all the best with the marriage. Me and David will say it is all it is cracked up to be. Hopefully David will back me up on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our wives don't even listen to this.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
And it was confirmed today by the Partick Thistle Charitable Trust and Jags for Good that £950 was raised for the trust at last Monday's quiz. So once again, thank you to everybody who came along to that. We will be back for another quiz sometime later in the year. Busy summer for a few of us coming up, so maybe not over the summer, but at the start of next season we will be back for another quiz. Come along and try and end Mahid's Buzzard's dominance. Partridge Thistle then. David, you were not online earlier when I told this story about where the origin of this question came from, so I'll fill you in a moment. But the Partridge Thistle question this week is, when have you overdone it? Rhys, I'll come to you first because you're I can't come to you last on Partridge Thistle. That's not a good way to end any draw, lose or draw, with all due respect. So I'll come to you first. When have you overdone it?
loads of times, to be fair. And I obviously, one of the, me and my pals have this thing, right? See, if we ever go out for dinner, like, you can't just end up on going out for dinner. You need to go and get a dessert after it, right? So just for talking's sake, because this has happened almost every time, right? So if you go for something to eat, regardless of where you go, we we'll always go for, like, you know, either a Big Licks or various other dessert establishments out there, and you always end up feeling absolutely terrible after it, because you'll get like a milkshake as well as like a dessert, like cookie dough or something, after we've just ate a dinner. And then I honestly see after it, man, you feel like spewing. There's been times where I've witnessed colleagues spewing after it, but it just needs to be done. It's part and parcel of it. You can't end the night on a savoury. You need to go and get a dessert. I don't know if anyone agrees with that, but we always seem to overdo it in that respect. But we know it's overdoing it, but we still do it.
Heather?
Okay, so I kind of went a bit differently with this question, like rather than food or like drink or anything, but just like overdone. Well, the first thing I thought of is I definitely overdo my birthday. Everyone in the world knows when my birthday is. I have a birthday month. There are multiple celebrations, and that, and like I've had like, you know, themed parties for like quite inconsequential birthdays. Like, do people really celebrate their 26th birthday? I don't know, but I definitely did. But there's one thing when I did kind of overdo a reaction to something. So part of my job, I look after students who you know, stay over and, you know, don't go home after school. And we played Monopoly one day, and it was quite an aggressive game, quite a lot of people involved in it, and someone blatantly cheated, and I didn't speak to that person for over a month. And I refused conversation. So I think that probably was I did overdo my reaction to that. But cheating is cheating and must be treated with in the correct way. And they learned a lesson. So yeah.
I'm on your side, Heather. I don't think that is overdoing it. As I've mentioned before, there's six pillars to a successful career in Monopoly. The first is obviously to be humble. The other five, I will either take to the grave or sell in a multi-million dollar book deal. But you're quite correct, Heather. Cheating in board games, cheating in pub quizzes, you know, nobody's been caught cheating in a draw, lose or draw quiz yet. But my word, they would be blacklisted if they were. David, you missed the story earlier where I was telling Reese and Heather about friend of the show and football hooligan Duncan Rayburn. We were out for his birthday on Saturday night to a place called the Thundercat, and they do these like deep dish pizzas. They're probably only like 10 or 12 inches in terms of pizza, but they're a good like 4 or 5 times thicker than the pizza. They're like pies basically. So he ordered one of them, and it was like a chili in it, you know, like meats, onions, the works. And he ordered a side of lasagna bites. Now, when he went for the side of lasagna bites, the waiter like intervened and was like, "Sir, we really do not recommend this for one person." And he's like, "No, it's fine. So God bless him, it was his birthday. Toilet breaks later, sweat coming out of his head, out of his face. The boy was in bother. He was going on 20 minutes after everybody else finished. God bless him, though, he did get to the end of his pizza pie. But it was quite the spectacle. So, David, when have you overdone it in a similar manner?
Well, first of all, Comrade Rayburn, thank you for your service and also many happy returns. You mentioned earlier, I think it was off record, about you're part of 100 Day Cough PTSC with me as well. We've both got an absolutely stinking cough, chesty thing or whatever, and I've had it for a couple of weeks as well. And I've been taking Cavonia nighttime formula. I call it the sleepy juice, right? I'll read you the back of the label. This medicine may cause opioid-like effects when used in high doses. This medicine can lead to dependence. Now I'm on my third bottle, right? It's something else, right? It is great. It's fantastic. I now go to my bed earlier just so I can take the sleepy juice and get like a good night's sleep, right? like proper, like, because I mean, like, remember, many people on the pod will know that I am famously stay up late at night during the weekdays to edit all these pods. I, you know, blood, sweat and tears. I did this all at like 5 in the morning. You know, when you were all in your beds safely tucked up, I'm sitting sweating away in the mines, making you some audio gold content. But I've been going to my bed a decent hour because I've been on the sleepy juice. But turns out, so it's meant to have like 10 doses and I've been going through it in like 6 days. So I'm definitely overdoing it. And the moment I knew it was overdoing it, as Linda told me, I was talking in my sleep on Monday. And she said that I went, oh, there he is. And I say that about the dog. You'll probably have something similar you say about N'Golo, you know, sort of, oh, here comes trouble, that sort of thing, right? Apparently, in my sleep, I went, oh, there he is. And Linda went, who? And apparently, in this voice, I just went, Satan. And then went back to sleep. So, I'm absolutely loving the sleepy juice. A Cavonia nighttime formula.
I really don't think we should be like reading that out as if it's an advertisement after
hydrobromide, hydrochloride, diphenhydramine, dextromorphine, the four pillars. What good lads. But yeah, so I've possibly overdone it, but my God, I'm loving bedtimes.
I feel obliged to say at this point, please do not overdose on whatever medication you might be on. And if you are listening to this podcast and it wasn't released on Thursday, the 2nd of May, then you know exactly why. We will leave it there. And as I say, hopefully we will be back in between the first and second legs next week to preview what will hopefully still be an important second leg, unless Thistle blitzed it, obviously, that would be nice. In the meantime, enjoy your trip to Tannadice, enjoy your trip to Airdrie, and stay safe.